Gush Camp 1, July 9th, Evening Chapel.
Well, who's had a fun day today?
Me!
I've had a lot of fun. What was one new thing that somebody tried? Put your hand up and I'll ask you. What's one new thing that you tried?
Water skiing.
Water skiing. Did you get up?
Yeah, I did.
Nice.
On my second try.
Good for you. What's one new thing? What's your name?
Jacob.
Jacob? What's the one new thing that you
also
did, Jacob?
Water skiing.
Water skiing. Did you get up? Nice. What's one new thing that you've tried?
Water skiing and I got up.
Oh, okay. All right, let's just do this. Everybody put your hand down. If you want water skiing, put your hand up. Woo, good job. Okay, did anybody go do soapstone?
That was awesome.
You like soapstone? It's pretty fun, eh? Hey, did anybody do something like bike riding? Man, you guys have been busy.
Yeah.
Did anybody do some drama?
Oh yeah, there was drama. Yeah. That's really good.
Nobody did drama? Did anybody do sports?
I don't drama.
Did anybody do
wilderness?
Did anybody do nap time?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, good number of you. Or siesta. Siesta. Sorry.
Did a nap time thing?
Oh, I could get you one if you really want it that bad.
No, after water skiing.
Okay. Who remembers the person I was going to talk about? Say it again.
Edward Little.
Very close. You got one of the two names right.
Eric Little.
Good job, Macy. Eric Little. And he was known as the Flying Scotsman. And he comes from the same country as somebody in this room. Can anybody guess who it might be?
Yeah.
Not me. Who do you think? Ruth. That's right. Comes from Britain. And he's one of the greatest athletes of all time that comes from Britain. Pretty good. Well, he was born, let's see if we can find a picture of him. He was born in 1902. Now, there are some people who are old in this room, including me, and nobody was around in 1902. It's a long time ago.
Even you?
Even me.
Well, you're younger than
my. Well, there you go. All right, don't announce that too loud. So listen. Listen. All right. So he was born in 1902, and he was born in China because his parents were Chinese missionaries. Now, when he was 6 years old, his parents sent him and his brother to boarding school back in London, in South London, actually, and that's where they spent all of their growing up years. And their parents and their younger sister and their younger brother only came to visit about 3 times their whole time they were growing up. Could you imagine living at school and only getting 3 visits from your parents and family the whole time you were growing up? Who would like that? Nobody? Well, that's a good answer. I wouldn't like it either. But one of the things that Eric was really, really good at was sports. Does anybody else think they're pretty good at sports? Yeah. Quite a few of you. That's cool. Now, he was really good at sports. And he was good at a couple of things. One was running the 100 yards. And the 220-yard sprints, and also a game called rugby. Now,
rugby.
Oh, you know rugby? Now, rugby, if you know rugby, you'll know, put your hand up, that rugby is a lot like football and soccer combined, but better. Okay? So, he was so good He was so good at sports that he won the Black Heath Cup, which means he was the best athlete in his school. Now, he went on to continue to do athletics at the University of Edinburgh. Now, the university there was a big university, and there was lots of athletes. But he kept getting better and getting better. And before he graduated, he set a British record of 9.2 seconds for the 100 yards, not the 100 meters, the 100-yard sprint, which was not beaten for over 23 years. He was very, very fast and a very, very good athlete. Well, he was also a person who was very devout or very committed to Jesus. And he was a person that no matter how difficult it was going to be, he was going to follow Jesus. Now, one of the things that was interesting about Eric is Eric observed what we call the Sabbath. Does anybody know what the Sabbath is? What do you think?
It's
what is the Sabbath?
It's the seventh day that God rested.
Yeah.
It's Sunday.
Yeah. Often we observe Sunday as our Sabbath. That's right. Now, Eric thought this was so important that he did something really, really crazy. So he had been training for the 100 meters in the Olympics. Now, the Olympics that year was going to be in Paris, France. And he was the favorite, not just for Britain, but in the world. He was so fast that the races that he was winning over and over, and he was establishing new world records prior to the Olympics. But to qualify for the Olympics, he had to run a race. And the race that he had to run was on the Sabbath. And so he said, I'm not going to race that because I want to observe and rest on the Sabbath. So he said no. And that really upset a lot of people. Because by this time, Eric Little was really, really famous. Everybody knew about Eric. He was in the papers every week about a new race or about rugby or about something. And he was always being written about. He was Britain's golden boy at this time, meaning everybody loved him. Well, you know what happened when he announced that he was not going to be running? Everybody went from Eric being their favorite to like not even giving Eric the time of day on the street. People were insulting him. How could you let your country down? We were depending on you. And he hurt very much. His feelings were hurt. Well, Eric and his coach began to talk. And they began to talk and they think, you know, it's still about 7 or 8 months away or 7 months away from the Olympics. Do you think that you could qualify for the 400 meters? Now, that doesn't sound like a big difference between the 100 meters and the 400 meters. But let me explain it to you. If you're a professional athletic runner, okay, athlete, and you're running the 100 meters, it's kind of like learning to play the guitar. And now, all of a sudden, you're very good at the guitar, and 6 months before you have to perform in front of this huge worldwide audience, you find out that you have to play the violin instead. It's like a complete, it's music, it's a stringed instrument, it's made of wood, but it's a completely different instrument. And it's super difficult. So he had to almost like relearn how to race. He knew how to run, but he had to relearn how to race for the 400 meters with only 7 months prior to the Olympics. Well, Eric began to train. And he began to train, and he began to train. And he just kept working and kept working. And he lost a lot of races before he got a little bit better. And then he began to move up. You know, he would, instead of getting last, he'd get sixth or seventh. And then the next month, he'd maybe get fourth or fifth. And then he was getting about third consistently, right before the Olympics were to begin. Well, Eric gets to the Olympics, and he begins to race. Do you guys want to see the race?
Yes.
Okay, let's watch the race. Okay, so these are just some of the highlights, okay? This is a different race here. There's Eric Little.
Wow, this is like old.
This is old, eh? Here, let me move this. There's no HD back then. This is the race.
This one's Eric. Very fine.
You watch. Definitely wasn't the guy in the middle. Eric won gold. He won gold. And when the reporters asked him, "How did you do it?" And he says this. He said, "The first half of the race, I ran my hardest. That would be 200 meters. And the second half of the race, with God's help, I ran even harder." That's hard to believe. After you run your hardest, that you could run even harder, but with God's help. That's what he did. Now, do you remember what I said this morning?
Yeah.
What was I going to talk about? Showing up. Did you know in life that so much of what we do is just showing up? If you show up to a race, you have a chance to win. It was easy, pretty easy for Eric to show up and race. You know what was hard for him and scared him? In fact, it terrified him. You know what it was? D.P. Thompson comes up to Eric. Now, D.P. Thompson was what we call an evangelist. That's somebody who tells others about Jesus. Okay? And he says this, "I need your help, Eric." D.P. Thompson was urgent. "Not many men come out to our meetings. I think they would come if they knew you were going to speak." Eric did not like to speak in public. He was shy. But he did not say anything to D.P. Thompson of this. He looked at his feet a couple of moments, then he looked up. "Yes, I will." It was really hard for Eric to make the decision to begin preaching and telling people about Jesus, because it scared him. Who likes athletics? Does it scare you to do sports?
No.
That was just like Eric. But Eric was really scared of public speaking. So much so that when he first started, people commented about how, well, you're not just quiet, but how boring his talks were. But you know what happened? God used Eric so powerfully that Eric was one of the people that began a revival A revival is something when lots of people decide to choose to follow Jesus. He was one of the people that God used to help people make that decision. Really, really important. So, he didn't speak when he preached. He didn't speak telling people like how bad they were. Instead, he just said, he spoke of God's love and support that he had personally experienced. How he personally experienced a relationship with Jesus. So I've got a question for you. Would it be more scary to play some sports or more scary to tell your friends about Jesus? Who says sports? Who says tell your friends about Jesus? I think that would scare me more too. In fact, it does. Because I tell people about Jesus lots. And it never scares me to play sports. Ever. Unless somebody's trying to beat me up. Then I just quit. But it's scary. And sometimes the only thing we can do is say, God, if you want me to tell people about you, I'm going to show up and do it. Eric Little wasn't ready to speak in front of people, but he did it. And you know what? Thousands, not just a few, but thousands of people became Christians because of what he said. Think it's important?
I have a friend named Christian.
That's awesome. All right, let's pray. Lord, I ask that you will help us and challenge us and encourage us to show up when you ask us to do something. We love you very, very much. And help us to follow you. Amen. All right, listen to this, guys. I'm going to leave you with this passage of Scripture. We read it this morning. Are you ready? It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says this, see if you can, if you hear this word, go, okay? See if you can find it, okay? Ready? Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What does God want us to do? Make disciples. Say it again. What does God want us to do?
Make disciples.
All right. You guys have a good time eating your snack in cabin during cabin time.